We have gone back and forth with a lot of different things over the last 3 months, but we keep coming back to the Ten Commandments. From the beginning in this series, we have read, and just about every message that I've spoken about the commandments, I have read the greatest commandment that we can follow from God's Word, both in the Law of Moses and in the words of Jesus. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest law? He said, the greatest law is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we could just focus on those two things and give ourselves completely to them, I believe that God's will would be done in our lives. The commandments that we have, the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses and all the principles and precepts and guidelines that we have throughout the Bible are all pointing toward this powerful law of love. And so even today, as we move on to one of the commandments, I just want to say and be reminded that God's fullness is achieved when we hear the whole counsel of God's Word and every piece of it that helps us to put into practice this law of love. I read the Ten Commandments in that light, in that understanding that they are in themselves pointing towards something else, helping us, giving us something to help us to understand the heart of God and how to live it out. I also have believed, and I've said for a long time, that what we find in the Ten Commandments are some very obvious, and they come to mind immediately, and we know what they mean. But also, as you read more scriptures about them and concepts from the scriptures, you'll find that each of the Ten Commandments, I believe, has a deeper content and meaning for us. This morning, we're going to look at another of the Ten Commandments. We're going to look today at the Ninth Commandment, another great word from the heart of God. Oh, would you watch this video with me?
Today, I am unreal. It all started when one of my best friends accused me of lying about her. The first off, it was about something she heard from another friend who promised me she wouldn't say anything. But it wasn't like what I said wasn't true. I didn't lie. I don't know. Maybe I said some things that weren't exactly honest. I left out some other information, too. I guess I never thought it would get back to her. Now I feel horrible because I said that stuff because I was hurt. Not because I was right. Unreal. It all started when one of my best friends accused me of lying about her. The first off, it was about something she heard from another friend who promised me she wouldn't say anything. But it wasn't like what I said wasn't true. I didn't lie. I don't know. Maybe I said some things that weren't exactly honest. I left out some other information too. I guess I never thought it would get back to her. Now I feel horrible because I said that stuff because I was hurt, not because I was right.
This commandment has many elements to it. One of them, there's actually three that I want to talk about this morning, and one of them, the first one, is the importance of truthfulness. God cares deeply about truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came, John chapter 1 says, full of grace and truth. Truth is important to the nature of God. Truth is important to the being of God and the creation that He made when He made man in His own image. God cares deeply about it. God cares deeply about your truthfulness and my truthfulness. God knows that at the core of the sin issue is in part an issue of a lie. You remember that Satan is the great deceiver? He's full of deception, and he wants to lead us astray in deception. And so when I think of this commandment, I think back to who Satan is and why he wants to twist and take everything that God has said is true, and he wants to change it. From the big things to the small things. I also know that this commandment is not only about truthfulness, but it's also about relationship and about community. It's about caring about one another. It's about seeing the needs of people around us and looking at our neighbor with kindness and compassion and being careful about them. This commandment is about integrity. It's also about self-control. What do you do when you think something that's not good or may not be very positive or may not be very helpful? What do you do with it? This commandment is about how you control yourself with the words that you speak. This commandment is about attitude. Attitude. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 says very simply, "Thou shalt not give false testimony against thy neighbor." That's the NIV translation. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You should not bear false witness. Giving false testimony brings up in my mind an image of the courtroom and being under oath and standing there and putting up your right hand and saying, "I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." And certainly this commandment is about that in the laws of Israel and in the courts of ancient Israel. How important it was that when you testified about a matter that you told the truth, especially in the context of another person's actions. Bearing a false testimony was a great sin in the eyes of God. Bearing a false testimony is a form of lying, a particularly offensive and damaging form of lying. But I also want to say today, and I don't know that I've said it much lately, I don't know that I've talked about this commandment or this concept, but lying is very offensive to God. Lying is one of the root problems in the sin nature for a number of reasons. Well, we know that lying is a violation of love. It's a violation of the right, of the perfect, of the good. I also know that lying is also a way that we avoid accountability. When we're not truthful, when we're not honest, we really don't tell it as it is, most of the time it's because we are avoiding personal accountability. And especially when it comes to interpreting the actions of others and why we should be very careful and need to be very careful about the way that we talk about other people and the way that we present other people and the way that we imply about other people is sometimes how we present other people says more about what's going on inside of us than it may be about what they are doing. And so we need to be careful. On the slide a few minutes ago, I had a little chuckle about lies. Are they big or small or whatever they were, whatever it said. I wrote down, whether it's a white lie or a black lie, lying tells God that you're holding on to something that you need to let go of. When you don't tell the truth, it's because you're avoiding something that you need to face in your spirit and your life. And if you don't tell the truth, it's because you're not being accountable for something that God wants you to be accountable for. There seems like there's always areas when we lie that we're trying to avoid something. But the Bible is clear, and it does talk about lying in many places. Leviticus chapter 19 says, "Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God." In fact, don't say, "Hey, according to God, I'm telling you this," and it not be so. "Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him." Lying was something that the law of Moses wrote very much about. In Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament, we read, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, we are members of one body. And I will say that some of the scriptures I want to read this morning are particularly in the culture of the church and the body of Christ. Some of them, I think, are general principles for humanity, but some of them are especially in the church, and this is one of them. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are members of one body. I remember my dad long ago when I was a little boy. I was the youngest of four, so I heard a lot of things growing up. And one thing that I heard him say to my sisters and my brother and to me as I was growing up, when he suspected we weren't telling the truth, Dad would say, "There are no liars in heaven." I've heard that statement 100 times from my dad. I later realized that he pulled that right out of the book of Revelation. There is a seriousness about not telling the truth. God cares deeply about truth. And if you don't tell the truth and you are walking away from a loving Heavenly Father who wants your character and your heart and your mind to be shaped in an important way. Lying often starts early in the human consciousness. It strikes me that our precious little toddlers seem to pick it up pretty early in life. I thought back to the story of Adam and Eve and then Cain and Abel. And Cain, after he killed his brother, what did he do? He lied about it. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And then God said, "Where is he?" "I don't know," he said. Well, I wanted to tell you a personal story this morning about Wendy, but then I decided, my granddaughter, who's two, then I decided, no, she's not here to defend herself, so I don't think I'll do that. And then I thought of a story about me when I was little, and then I thought, no, I don't want to really you to know this story about me, so I'm going to tell you a story about Luke. When Luke was a little fellow, I may have told this story before. He was so cute. Still is, but anyway, he had shorts on. It was summertime, and he had little socks on, and we had this bag of peanut butter cups, little tiny peanut butter cups. Luke loves peanut butter cups, and he loved them when he was 1 1/2. Well, anyway, he was, I don't know, 2 1/2. He could talk by then. And one day, Debbie and I were like in the dining room, and we came out, and things were real quiet out there. You know, when things get quiet, then you got to wonder what your kids are doing. So we come out, and behind the green chair, I see two little feet sticking out around the edge of the chair. And I identified them very quickly. It was Luke, and he was quiet. Something was going on. So I walked out, and then I saw the little path of those Hershey, what do you call them? Peanut butter cups. You know, like 3 or 4 of them right there around his feet and out in the living room. And so, you know, Debbie and I are already laughing, you know, inside, you know. So I said, "Hey, Luke, what are you doing back there?" And kind of heard this, nothing, you know. And then I said, "Hey, Luke, do you know where the candy is?" "Boy, don't know." Truthfulness is under attack in your human nature. Being honest, telling the truth. And so we realize that there's something, a part of our nature that's there from the beginning that emerges at a certain age, and it's a part of the nature that we have. And it's important that we understand that we come to the place in our lives where we give that completely to God. And we realize that God wants to take away anything inside us that's not truthful. He wants us to be people who tell the truth, certainly in the context of this commandment, but the importance of truthfulness. I would say with that, there's also the importance of confession. Repentance, when we fall, when we fail, that we know the best thing that we possibly can do is just say, "God, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me for that?" Or maybe to a family member. Truthfulness is so important for strength in the body of Christ. This commandment is about truthfulness, but it's also about the second thing that I want to talk about this morning. And this commandment is also about reputation, about the importance of a person's reputation. Your neighbor's reputation is very important. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." Having a name that is positive and has integrity, the Bible says, is an extremely important. It's one of those intrinsic, one of those unseen things about us that are very, very important, the Bible says. And so reputation is very important. Another scripture says it's even better than fine perfume. So ladies, if you like perfume, there's a picture for us. And so I want to say for all of us, me included, because I talk a lot, be careful what you say about other people. Be careful what you say when you're frustrated with people. Be careful what you say when you have an opinion about people. Be careful what you say when you feel like they're not doing exactly what they should do. Be careful the words that you use to describe the people around you. Why? Well, one reason is because a reputation is very important. And God wants us to be careful about that. So be careful about what you say. A person's reputation is of great worth. We just read in those scriptures. It's of great value. It's of great meaning. It may be hard to define. It may be hard to really put your finger on. But reputation is important. It's a large part of who we are and our self-esteem, how we feel about ourselves. And if we're under attack from other people, it doesn't help us any. In fact, it might not even help us to change the things that we need to. It's very valuable. Reputation also builds over time. And I want to say about that, that we are all in process. There's nobody here that's perfect. Nobody here that hasn't made mistakes. Nobody here that hasn't jumped to conclusions. Nobody here that hasn't always understood the situation completely. Nobody here that goes through life knowing everything and everybody's motive and everything about everybody else. And so be careful about a person's name and a person's reputation. We're all made of clay. Maybe we need to have a little more patience than we do a little more judgment. A little more love and care for people that are hurting and broken than the need to tell others about their faults or weaknesses. I know I need to. Reputation also can be changed easily. Intentionally, unintentionally, sometimes with motives that are very impure, and sometimes because people are not careful. People can have an opinion that may or may not be true. Reputation can be changed easily. Reputation can also be harmed quickly. It can be destroyed quickly. It can be altered quickly. It can be affected quickly. All of us know that. We've all probably all been in places that somebody's developed an opinion about you that you think, that's not fair. That didn't come from my relationship with them. I know I have felt sometimes. Sometimes people have judged me by what others have said instead of who I am. And you've probably felt that way sometimes too. Don't you wish that people would look at you and judge you by who you are instead of what somebody else's opinion might be about you or something about you? A person's reputation can be altered unfairly. And if we're not careful, we can paint somebody in a light that may cause others to see them and treat them differently, and then there's a loss to the body, especially in the body of Christ. So be careful about your words. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18 says it like this: "Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbor." Wow. Thought about bringing an arrow in. Boy, them things are whoo. Club. Be careful what you say and imply about other people. Why would I say this three times? I think I've said it three times. Well, let me give you five quick reasons why you should be careful what you say and imply about other people. Number one, you could just be completely wrong. I've been wrong before. I said the statement before, I've jumped to conclusions before. We don't always have all the information. Sometimes the information we have isn't completely balanced. There's always two sides to a story. Remember that. When somebody comes to you and they've got a real negative beef about somebody, remember, there's always two sides to a story. And maybe when somebody comes to you with a beef and they want to tear somebody else down, the best thing to do is, step back and say, wait a minute, if you have a problem with that person, then maybe you need to go and talk to them. Talking about people instead of to them is so damaging to relationships. Sometimes when we feel hurts, we feel like we've got to get it out, and sometimes we don't do it in the healthiest of places and times. But why should we be careful about what we say? Number one, we might be wrong. Number two, our motives can be skewed. Maybe our feelings might be rooted a little bit more in our own issues than it might be completely in the issues of somebody else. It's so much easier to look at the faults of other people than to look inside. We know that. It's so much easier to see why somebody else should be different or do different or have done different than it is to really examine, what about me? That's, of course, what Jesus taught us to do. That before you take the splinter out of your neighbor's eye, take the plank out of your own. Why would Jesus say such a thing? Well, because he had such a heart of wisdom in relationships. I think the best thing you can do when you feel conflict coming on, the first thing to do, not the only thing, but the first thing to do is say, God, look in me. Help me. And before I might want to say a whole lot about somebody else, ask God to be sure to examine my heart and my life. One of the struggles that we have about saying things that we shouldn't is because sometimes we can have some bitterness on the inside that affects our ability to see what's right and wrong. Bitterness always affects how we judge other people. Our own hurts, our own pains, our own past, our own experiences always put some kind of a coloration on how we feel about other people who may be involved in a conflict or a problem. And so Jesus reminds us to look within. Another reason why we should be very careful is sometimes we can make a mountain out of a molehill. And instead of just giving grace to people that need it, we get our feathers roughed up a little bit, or we get our dander up, or whatever term you want to use, you know, and we get a little offended, and so we might say something that we probably shouldn't because we've allowed something to get bigger than it should. Instead of just saying, I forgive them, I let it go, I say it's okay. The ability not to be offended is pretty important in human relationships and in the body of Christ, in your family, in the church. Another reason why we should be very careful, and it's related to the last one, is that we got to be careful about having an unforgiving spirit. Maybe about the person involved, but maybe about other people too. Maybe somebody over here really hurt me, and it just carries this shadow over me, this negativity, this bitterness, this hard stuff that's painful, and it just carried right over into other relationships too. And you know, the saddest people in the world are people who are bitter. James talks about letting a bitter root grow up, and it affects so many people. So be careful about your own self and ask God to help you. Am I dealing with some issues of unforgiveness in my heart and my life? And the fifth thing, just a general category here, is scripturally speaking, be careful what you say about other people because it may not build others up. You go, why do you say that? We have a calling in the, now we go back to the body of Christ, to the brothers and sisters. We have a calling to use our words carefully. I mean, we are told to be careful about our words. Jesus said in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, he said, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." I don't know if the purpose of that, Jesus was really saying, I just want to warn you that on the day of judgment, we're going to hear all the things you've said. I don't know. I think he said this to say, be careful about your words. They're important. Be careful about your speech and things that you say that really aren't very nice, for lack of a better word, or edifying or building up of the body of Christ. God cares about truthfulness. God cares about reputation. And a third point that I want to make today is God cares deeply about the taming of the tongue. So many scriptures talk about the importance of that self-control. It's one thing to know it up here, and it's something else when the times come when we feel like saying things that maybe we should not. We know that the tongue has the power of life and death. It has the power of fruit. It has the power of pain. We know that. We've all experienced it. We've all messed up in that way. But God gives us He tells us to be very careful about our tongue and building others up. And I do want to say today, I am so blessed by people who use their tongue well. And there's a lot of people that do that. I'm not preaching a sermon today because I'm mad at somebody. I'm really not. Not today, anyway. I'm really not. It's a good day to preach a sermon because I don't have any issues that I know of. Well, I should probably, but I don't know. Okay. But I want to say, thank you for the way that you use your tongue to encourage people. I mean that. I could not feel more blessed as a pastor. You guys got to be the nicest church in the whole world. That's what it feels like to me. Again, I'm sure there's things I don't know, and that's all right. Don't tell me. I just love it when I hear people encouraging other people. I love it when I hear people say, "You did a great job." I even like it if they say, "You did a bad job, but I'll help you next time, and can I be a part of the team?" I just love it when I hear people do things like, "I know you're going through a hard time, and I just want you to know I really am praying for you." You know, even it's okay to say, "I heard how you messed up back there, but I want you to know I love you, and we're on this journey together, and I want to see you get stronger." That's where Jesus makes the difference in our tongue and our lives. Jesus talked about what's in your heart is what will come out on your tongue. And that's true. If you got love in your heart for God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, what will come out of your tongue will bless people and not hurt them. Jesus talked about, or not Jesus, but the scripture talks about how out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. These things ought not to be, brothers. How important it is that you use your tongue. So I want to say to this church family, thank you. I would name some of you individually, but I don't want to embarrass you, but thank you. Thank you for how you use your tongue to encourage people. I'm so proud of you and so grateful for that. And some of you, I just love it when I see that and I see it on social media. You know, social media is another thing that I don't have any business preaching about because I stay away from it for the most part, but I've made some promises there. But I read some of your posts and some of your stuff, and I'm just blessed by it. I'm blessed by the faith that I see, the journey that I see. Life, you know, not everything is about not going to church and things that don't need to be, but just to see that God uses your tongue and your pen and your keyboard to bless and not curse. When we see the other side of it, then we all cringe and think, that's not what the body of Christ ought to be. So thank you for that. Be careful about that. God gives us one priority for the tongue, building others up. One priority. Go on to that next scripture, which I don't know if I have it in order. Yeah, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If you could memorize a verse, especially if this area is an area that challenges you, this is a great verse to memorize. There's one scriptural reason to talk. That's to build people up in the body of Christ, in the context. That's it. No other. So I've thought, and I've used this statement before, not this one, but who did that build up? I've wanted to say that, and I have in a few places. When I've heard somebody talking and boom, 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 just lambasting somebody, who did that build up? Who did that edify? Maybe a good thing when we mess up, we ought to stop back and say, wait a minute, what did I just say? Who did that build up? Certainly didn't build up the person who heard it. Certainly didn't build up the body of Christ, the reputation of Jesus. So if it doesn't build up, I couldn't think of the right word there, but maybe you can help me. Well, okay, point number three. What if it's true? You know, I've had people say that to me. You know, I've even confronted some people about their words. Some of them have, oh yeah, you're right, Pastor. That just, I need to be careful, help me. Or I need to think about that. But I've had a few people who've gotten angry with me. It was true. So what do you say about that? Three things. If you have to judge, Jesus said, judge justly. In other words, he said, if you have to judge, be very careful about judging other people. Sometimes we have to. We have to make decisions about things. But when you do, do it with a humble spirit and remember the humility of Jesus. If you must judge, judge justly. Second thing that I want to say is speak the truth in love. Our words should be both. We don't want to speak untruthfully. Sometimes it's far better not to speak at all. But when we speak, the measure should be, are we speaking out of a motive of love or not? And if we're not, if we can't, if it hurts too much or it's too deeply painful, then it's better to step back and say, no, I'm going to let God work on me some more before I say things that are not loving. God can help us to do that. Speak the truth in love. Again, who does it build up? And then the last point that I want to make this morning is a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. This comes out of the middle of a whole discussion, and I don't have time to go into the context of it. But I believe the context, as we apply it to today's world, is this. Knowledge is different than love. Knowing something is not the same as having a loving heart for people. Knowing somebody's weaknesses is not the same as loving them. And so something trumps knowledge. And that's this great principle of love. Love God with all that you are, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here's a second verse to memorize if you had it in you and you wanted to. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Build up the people in your life. And if you must speak truth that's confrontational, and that's very appropriate, truth that is doesn't leave out the hard things, but when you do it, remember the principles that God gives us about building others up. And God can help you how to know and put that into practice. Have you had enough for this morning? I didn't hear anybody say no. Okay. Would you tell me, what are the seven? No. What are the six? No. No. What are the seven things God detests? Who can help me? If you need your Bible, go ahead and find it. Proverbs chapter 16. Huh? Pride. Oh, Tim already had it open. Tim? Envy. Man, the Martins are making a killing. What does God detest? A lying tongue. Proverbs 16, what else does God detest? A what?
A haughty spirit.
Very good. What else? You got? No, that's seven deadly sins of the Catholic Church. Yeah. What else? What are the seven things that are... No. What are the six things? No, seven things that are detestable to God. Anybody? It's all right to read it. Huh? No, that's one of the Catholic ones too. Very good. All right, you got two more. Oh, you missed the two that are related to my sermon. Huh? Lying. Thank you. One more. Who's going to get it? What does God detest? Bearing a false witness. There you go, Mike. Have a good day. Blessings.